3. It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. The scorching Midwest drought has caused crop prices to soar, but the dry weather is benefiting airlines, whose on-time performance has improved this summer, leading to fewer customer complaints and healthier profits. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports.
You need three things to make a healthy airline industry. That's according to Joe Schwederman. He's a professor of transportation at DePaul University in Chicago. The first thing you need...
a strong economy, which gives them pricing power.
Okay, we really don't have one of those. What about number two?
They need good fuel prices.
Can't really put a check there. Fuel prices have been all over the map this summer. But operationally, airports and airlines have been having one of their best summers in years, mainly because...
the weather's cooperated splendidly. We've had dry weather, not the kind of, you know, torrential high wind type situations that can ground hubs.
The summer's dry weather, especially at hub cities, has been keeping planes in the air.
Smaller secondary airports really feel the effects of when hubs go bad because they rely on getting through Chicago, Minneapolis, and the other hubs. And so when you have bad weather, it ripples through the system and people are stranded, connections are missed, you know, there's people sleeping at airports. It has far greater effects than just a flight being late.
Schwederman says it'd be better if the airlines could depend on lower fuel prices and a booming economy. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
A new exhibit opened at the Burpee Museum of Natural History in Rockford earlier this month. And this time, it's not dinosaur bones that are attracting huge crowds. It's an eccentric musician and the things he's collected during his half century in rock and roll. Susan Stevens takes us to opening night of Rick's Picks.
Hi, I'm Rick Nielsen, and I'm glad all this stuff is here instead of my house, because now I can walk through it.
Rick Nielsen is standing in front of his car and checkerboard lawn tractor, not in his cluttered garage, but in a meticulously curated exhibit of his, well, stuff, in the middle of Burpee Museum of Natural History. The Rockford native is known the world over as guitarist and songwriter for Cheap Trick, the guy who wrote Dream Police and I Want You to Want Me, the guy who whips an endless supply of guitar picks into the audience, the guy with the amazing guitar collection who has a penchant for checkerboard, the one who grew up in his parents' music store and still lives in his hometown.
I didn't ask for this, and I probably shouldn't have volunteered, but it's an honor to see this stuff, and it's like this is your life. It used to be a TV show, and I'm expecting Ralph Edwards to be here tonight. You know, and then my first grade teacher will come back from the grave, and hey, that'd be great, you know.
Nielsen isn't the only one who feels a little strange standing knee-deep in his own history at Burpee. His son, Miles Nielsen, is a songwriter, singer, and musician. His band played at opening events at the exhibit.
It's extremely weird, you know, to see things that are displayed in a museum that, you know, you sort of just took for granted laying around the house, and things that you'd, like, just kind of walk on as a kid or step on or throw against a wall, you know, and you're like, wow, that was actually the guitar that he used to write, like, Dream Police? That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Miles Nielsen says it's an emotional exhibit for him, too.
My kids are here, so and they don't know the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. They know the now. So for them to see sort of the history of what, and they call him Grumpy. So to see what Grumpy is about is pretty cool for them.
That's kind of the experience Jay Graham wants everyone to have when they tour Rick's Picks. Graham is a partner and co-creative director at Graham Spencer, which designed the exhibit. It's also a labor of love for Graham. He and Rick Nielsen have been close friends for decades. Graham says the exhibit is going to keep changing during its 8-month run in Rockford. That includes Graham's favorite part, a short documentary where other music icons talk about their admiration for Nielsen while holding one of his most famous guitars.
We hauled his Hamer checkerboard standard that was made in 1978 all over the place and interviewed people with that in proximity to them or holding it. And it's like a holy grail. You know, their faces just light up when they see. And you'll see that in the video content. People really are moved by Rick's and Cheap Trick's music.
The exhibit ranges from the professional triumphs, like the wall of gold and platinum records Cheap Trick earned, to the very personal, such as a surprisingly lyrical prayer Rick penciled when he was very young. Visitors can actually rummage through Nielsen's drawers. Many display cases have pull-out treasures hidden below, drawers full of shoes, hats, costumes, and family photos. Walls are covered with posters and artwork chronicling Cheap Trick's history, as well as the band's Rockford fans may remember Nielsen playing in the 60s. Fans like Blackhawk Bank president Rick Bastian.
It's better than anything I could have imagined. When they talked about an exhibit of guitars and memorabilia, it didn't occur to me that it would be this exciting, this energizing, this professional, and bring back all the memories of what this band's done over the years.
And when you're talking to one of Nielsen's friends, like, oh, say, Rick Bastian, don't be surprised if the man who wears checkerboard shoes with his formal wear jumps in out of nowhere.
Karen and Rick are friends of ours, so...
They are? Oh, God, I heard Rick's really cool. What, your name is Rick?
Not a bad banker.
Well, I'm still taking all this in. You know, it's, you know, when you walk into this exhibit, it's really a time warp.
John Groh seemed a little overwhelmed by the 3,000 artifacts and hundreds of people in attendance. He's the president and CEO of the Rockford Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Groh says tens of thousands of people will come to Rockford to see the exhibit before it closes April 10th. After that, the exhibit's expected to hit the road, traveling as far as Japan, with proceeds benefiting Burpee Museum of Natural History.
If we could launch this throughout the country and the world, the City of Rockford, the Convention and Visitors Bureau will do everything in our power to help.
The Convention and Visitors Bureau isn't the only group contributing to Rick's Picks. The state of Illinois put up a $250,000 grant. Emily Monk is the chief operating officer of the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Tourism falls under her department. Monk says she had never been to Rockford before Friday night's opening reception, and she likes it.
This really has a great cool factor. Illinois is known for certain things, and if we can also be known for having cool rock stars who aren't from Chicago, that's a bonus.
Rick Nielsen says the value of the exhibit, the band for that matter, goes past the money it can bring in from tourists and other cities interested in hosting it. For a split second, he borrows from Governor Pat Quinn's phrase book.
Jobs, 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 you know, to do all this stuff. And I'm still working all the time, and Cheap Trick is still working all the time. And we hire people to make picks, and people make strings, and they make guitars, they make amps, they drive trucks. It's kind of a mini economy. And that's my grandkids.
And he's off again, pulling a phone from his jacket pocket.
I'll have to call you back. I'm doing an interview with Playboy magazine. All right, bye.
Rick's Picks, a lifelong affair with guitars and music, will continue to grow and change during its 8-month stay in Rockford. Organizers say to watch for a Rick Nielsen and Friends concert in January at the Coronado Theater, packed with to-be-announced special guests. Nielsen isn't afraid to drop names.
If the time is right and all this and that, Dave Grohl, and we have some of the guys maybe from Aerosmith, and we have maybe Billy Corgan, and we maybe have, who are the other guys? Todd Rundgren, Slash.
That, by the way, is Rick Nielsen on guitar playing along with his son's band, Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts. They're covering one of Cheap Trick's biggest hits. I'm Susan Stevens.
Support comes from the Yoga Institute of Champaign-Urbana, with beginner-level instruction in Iyengar yoga and special classes for men, women, teens, seniors, knees, low back, neck, and shoulders. New classes start the week of August 27th. Details at 344-YOGA.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 21st of August, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Robert Stone, born Brooklyn, 1937, raised by his mother, who was schizophrenic, and when she went into an institution, he went into a Catholic orphanage. Sometimes he and his mother would drive cross-country and end up in a Salvation Army shelter or a random hotel. He said, "My early life was very strange. I was a solitary. Radio fashioned my imagination. Dropped out of high school, joined the Navy, moved to New York City, worked as a copy boy at the Daily News, went briefly to NYU, got married, moved to New Orleans, and there he was inspired to write his first novel entitled A Hall of Mirrors, which came out in 1967. Robert Stone served as a correspondent in Vietnam for a British magazine, where he got material to come home and write the novel Dog Soldiers. It came out in 1974, story of a burnt-out playwright, John Converse, who leaves the fading counterculture of California to work as a correspondent in Vietnam and ends up smuggling heroin out of the country. It won the National Book Award. Robert Stone said, "Writing is lonely. Most of the time you're in a room by yourself. Writers spend more time in rooms, staying awake in quiet rooms, than they do hunting lions in Africa. So it's a bad life for a person because it's so lonely and because it consists of such highs and lows. And there's not always anywhere to take these emotional states. It's a life that's tough to sustain without falling prey to some kind of beguiling diversion that's not good for you." It's the birthday of the poet X.J. Kennedy, born Joseph Charles Kennedy, Dover, New Jersey, 1929. Grew up working class, Irish. His father was a timekeeper at the local boiler factory. He recited poems to his son, who went off to college and started writing poetry of his own. Served in the Navy for 4 years. He said, "I enlisted in the Navy to avoid serving in the infantry. I'd also been reading Moby Dick, and I had a rather glamorous view of the seas." His first book of poetry came out in 1961, Nude Descending a Staircase. Gone on to publish many books of children's poems, including Gastly's Goops and Pincushions, and his big collection, The Lords of Misrule, poems 1992 to 2002. X.J. Kennedy, who said, "I like poems where you don't really know whether to laugh or cry when you read them." Here's a poem for today by X.J. Kennedy, entitled Decor. "This funky pizza parlor decks its walls with family portraits, some descendant junked, ornately framed.